gospel this morning is from Matthew chapter 11, starting at the 16th verse. Jesus spoke to the crowd, saying, "To what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. You will see that quite often I do not print the titles of my sermon in advance. And this is one of those days when I should have not printed it. Because I may get an idea early in the week, and the Holy Spirit always changes things. So, you know, you can't really plan too far ahead. Today's reading was about Jesus and John, and what a pair they are. John, with his wild hair and clothes, his views are strong and decisive. John yelled, "Repent!" And he wowed the crowds with his hell, fire, and brimstone preaching. He brought the crowds to the Jordan, where he baptized a whole lot of them. John is quite the prophet. And then there's Jesus. Well, he began his public ministry in a quieter tone. Jesus taught the crowds as he walked among them. While John encouraged fasting, Jesus ate with the people, with all kinds of people. In fact, he was criticized for eating and drinking freely with, you know, those people. And for that, he would pay the price. John and Jesus, they're on the same team, but with very different approaches, for sure. Both pointed to God as a source of grace and love and mercy. Both preached for the need for repentance, that is, to turn toward God. John through powerful and convincing speeches. Jesus with a slightly nuanced way of teaching through story and parable. The people are sizing up John and Jesus and trying to figure them out. John is too severe, the people say. He's too serious. He should quit fasting and enjoy. Eat, drink, and be merry like Jesus. He should be more like Jesus. Well, the people were saying things about Jesus, too. He might be too nice, too gracious. He spends time with anyone and everyone. He eats with sinners and forgives everyone, too. Jesus could be a little bit more like John. David Lohse, one of my preaching professors, called this the Goldilocks syndrome. Kids, help me out. From the Goldilocks and the Three Bears story, remember the girl Goldilocks goes to the house of the bears when they're not there. And first, she eats the porridge. One is too hot. The second one is too cold. And the third is just right. Then Goldilocks goes to the chair and the bed. So she goes to the chair, and one is too high, and one is too low. And the third one is just right. Then she goes to the bed. She lies down on the bed. One is too hard. The other is too soft. But the last one is just right. Oh, how we humans like to be comfortable, right? To find just the right spot. Idolatry. That's the sin that is as old as time, and it seems to be human nature to try to imagine God and God's prophets in a particular way, in a one-size-fits-all sort of way. We want God's messengers to be not too soft, not too strict, but just right. We want our Christian leaders and prophets to be not too old, but not too young, but just right in the middle somewhere. We want our prophets to be relatable and interesting, but not that interesting. Am I right? We want our pastors and our leaders to be hip and cool, but not that cool. Not over the top cool, not covered in tattoos or flamboyant or flashy, but somewhere in the modest middle, right? But the thing about the Holy Spirit, as I mentioned this morning, the Holy Spirit is unpredictable. The wild imagination of the Spirit sends really unusual people to do the work of a prophet. Prophets do not see into the future, but rather they see the signs that God has placed all around them, and they take that opportunity to wake up the people, to tell them to pay attention to what God is doing, to what God is creating. John and Jesus both serve as prophets, each in their own way, each in their own style. They wake the people up to the kingdom of God that is bursting at the seams, that is breaking into their reality. John says, "Repent and be baptized." Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Two very different approaches, both aimed at one thing, bringing the people to God. There is such a tender moment in this reading today, in verses 25 through 27, where we overhear as Jesus prays to God. This precious window into the soul of Jesus reveals a deep trust in the way that God chooses to be revealed in and among God's people. What strikes me here is that following this prayer, Jesus speaks calmly of the yoke that is easy and light. We read this, of course, knowing fully that the yoke that Jesus must carry is not easy. It is not light, because Jesus on the way to the cross will suffer greatly. We know this. But a careful reading of the Greek reveals that a better translation would be, "My yoke is useful, purposeful, good, and therefore the burden becomes light." Therefore, the burden becomes light. The role of the prophet is to teach whatever God has placed upon his or her heart by the Holy Spirit. The message proclaimed by prophets are seldom what we expect or hope. We would like the message to be palatable, not too crazy. We would hope to be comfortable in our discipleship, to make a few changes here and there, but staying in our comfort zones actually is quite nice. So we often welcome the prophet's message as long as the message is just right. But what are we to do with John and Jesus, Ezekiel and Amos, Isaiah and Rebecca, Elizabeth and Mary Magdalene, who stretch us past our comfort zones, delivering messages that wake us up? What happens when the Holy Spirit speaks, moves, shakes us, wakes us up to see God at work in new ways in this world, and in some pretty interesting or frightening ways? What if that awakening requires you to change? to expand the way you see things, to change your mind, to grow. That no longer are we in the land of Goldilocks and the Three Bears. We are well outside the realm of children's stories. We are venturing into the abundant life that Jesus spoke of when he said, "Come. Come to me, all of you. Yes, you. All of you who are carrying way too much upon your shoulders, that you simply cannot remember a time when you were not carrying this much. And lay it down at my feet. Because Jesus says, I will give you rest. Put down your yoke and instead take mine. And there you will find rest for your souls. Jesus says, for my yoke is good. And therefore, the burden is light." Now that's a different kind of yoke. One that's not too heavy, not too light, but just right. Because it was created for you by the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.